You may recall that in recent weeks, our reporter Brian O'Connell has been reporting regularly on the direct provision system of accommodation in this country for asylum seekers. Today and tomorrow, Brian brings us revelations about the lives of some of the people in that system. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, Sean.
Who have you been talking to?
Well, in recent weeks, Sean, I've been meeting up to a dozen women in the direct provision system. Now, we're not going to identify them by name or say where in the country they are just to help protect their identity. But many agencies working with direct provision have long suspected and expressed concern, Sean, that some women were involved in prostitution. No women have come forward to confirm this, but I've met several asylum seekers who were willing to speak to me about how they are engaged in prostitution to generate income. This first asylum seeker says that she began to sell her body because of financial pressures associated with her children, mainly going back to school. And she first talks here about being propositioned by Irish men on the streets for sex.
Yeah, it does happen in the street, even in the post office. I've had a case that I was just from collecting my money, 19 or 10 cents, and I'm coming out. One man is standing in his car, he's just asking me how much. I was like, why is he asking me that? So just because he know that I'm collecting 19 euro and he have seen some people doing that.
And are men calling to the direct provision centre where you're living?
Yeah, they do. They do.
And how do they get past security and staff?
I can say sometimes they just come in and say, I came to see this person, because the manager won't know, is it a boyfriend or anybody or a friend or anything like that. So you can just come in.
Can you remember the first time when you did it?
Yeah, I think when I was about like 6 months. That's when everybody was doing it. And myself, I had no choice also, because I know that I cannot afford anything. So I just had to do it as well.
And it was in a car on the street?
It was in the car. Just the people, as I said before, they park outside the gate. So anyone who come out, you like, that's okay for them.
It can be a very dangerous situation.
Yeah, it is dangerous, actually. I can say we take a risk, because we have no choice, but we do take a risk. It's a risk, we know that it's a risk, but we have no choice.
And in terms of contraception?
It depends with the person you meet. Some, they don't want to use condom, some they want. So it depends on the person. And it's so risky for us also. You can get sick.
You've just been in one centre, is it?
No, I've been in like two centres and this is the third one.
And the issue of prostitution, is it happening in other centres in your experience?
Yes. Almost all the centres that I've been, I've seen the same experience.
And you're speaking now because anecdotally people have heard that this is happening, but up until now I don't think anybody has spoken directly about it.
Because people, they're afraid to speak out. People, they're afraid to speak out. Some people, they are married, as I said before, they are afraid to speak out. They can't speak out, they are afraid. Maybe if I say this, the government will say this or somebody else will say this. People, they are afraid to speak out. But I think it's important to speak up, because maybe some people out there, they don't know how we are living. They don't know that we are living under those kind of situations.
And Brian, that's a fairly stark account there from a young mother in the direct provision system, saying she feels forced into prostitution. Just remind us as to the terms and conditions of being in those direct provision centres.
Well, it was set up initially as a temporary system for accommodating asylum seekers, Sean. They're provided with accommodation on a full board basis. It covers meals, heat, light, laundry, TV, household maintenance and so on. And they're paid a personal allowance of 19 euros 10 per adult and 9 euros 60 per child per week. There are some small allowances for when children go back to school, but many of the young mothers that I met say it's not enough. It doesn't cover a lot of the basics. So that's one of the reasons some of them are saying that they're having to engage in prostitution. Now, that young lady that I met feels that that pressure of trying to provide for her children is what's forcing her into selling her body. I met several women in two centres and they did outline to me the kinds of things that were happening, and there are many casual relationships taking place between female asylum seekers and Irish men, I found out, whereby money is being exchanged, perhaps not strictly for sex, Sean, but there is an element of control and an understanding there. But what I found out also is that there is a lot of instances of men paying for sex, calling to centres, meeting women outside, in parked cars or in nearby car parks, or some are visiting the women in the centres they are staying in, as that young lady said. And it was mostly young single mothers I met who told me they were involved involved in this, trying to provide for their children, as we'll hear again in the second clip.
I just feel so much pain for children because they have no life. They are suffering. They have no life at all. It's just sad. They don't even know the difference between a toilet and a kitchen. They don't know. Like my son always say, "Mommy, I'm going to the room." It's just the room he knows. He doesn't know anything else. He doesn't know there's thing called the house that exists.
And obviously, with one child and just getting €19.10 a week, mm-hmm. it must be really hard as a mom to try and provide for your child.
It's definitely it's hard. Most of us engage ourselves into prostitution because we have no choice. Some people, they're even married, they're living with their husband, but they do it because they have no choice. Most people, I know a lot of people, they engage. I know most girls, some of them, they finished the living set last year or 2012. They are there, they have nothing to do. Poor girls, they have to engage themselves into prostitution.
And is the prostitution organized?
It's not organized. It's just, I think we do it out of desperation. And some people also, they know that we are in that situation in dire provision. They just take us for granted. They'll just, like, where I live, it's along the road. People, they come and park their cars outside there. You're just coming out there, like, how much? It's like we have no dignity. Like, we have lost ourselves in almost everything.
What kind of prices do people negotiate?
It depends. Sometimes €20, sometimes €50. But then, because they know that you're definitely desperate for that €20.
So, Brian, that young woman there saying that people are paying as little as €20 for sex because they know the women are desperate?
That's the shocking situation, Sean. It wouldn't appear to be controlled by pimps. And while some men are approaching the women in the street, others are making contact through friends or contacts of the women.
Brian, have you actually seen this taking place?
Well, as you can imagine, a lot of this is conducted in secret, Sean, but I visited the two centres about 5 or 6 times in the past fortnight, and I was guided by women in the centre who I met. Now, I interviewed about a dozen men and women, and each verified the information independently that women were meeting men and getting paid for sex. Sometimes the same man was meeting several different women in the centre. Some women were doing this without their husbands knowing, while mostly, as I said, it was young single mothers engaged in it. Now, during one weekend night, I parked near one of the centres, and I saw about 3 or 4 women leaving the centre and meeting with men over the course of 2 hours. In one case, Sean, one of the women met a male in a parked car in a nearby car park. In other cases, they met in nearby premises. The women were then identified to me as meeting these men for sex by other residents of the centre, and they stayed maybe half an hour in the cars. One of the women involved was about 18 or 19 years old and had only recently completed her leave insert.
Brian, independently of the women who were involved themselves, you also met with other residents of the centres who confirmed what was happening?
Yes, I interviewed quite a significant group of people, and all those I met and interviewed on their own, they all verified the general details of what was happening, including this husband and wife, Sean.
Some girls, I don't blame them because they are getting just 19 euros. They start doing prostitution, looking for men to give them money. They go to clubbing every Friday, you know, just to remove the stress. And going to club all the time is not really good for the youths.
And where is the prostitution happening?
In the hostel. They go outside, some men, they even stop. Even me, I'm a married woman. I know how many times men, the white men, they stop me on the road, like, it's very, very embarrassing how much they be asking stupid questions as if you are selling yourself.
And they're doing that presumably because some women are selling themselves and they know that.
Yeah, yeah.
How about you? What do you think of the situation?
Yeah, the situation is really bad.
Have you seen the fact that some women have to consider prostitution?
Yeah, because it's not that some of the women is out of frustration. They are going into prostitution. They need to reconsider that.
And if you could say one thing to the Minister for Justice, what would you say?
What I would tell to Minister of Justice, at least he's a mother now. He's a woman that is there. She's a mother. She know how every mother knows how the pain to be a mother, how your children feels and all that. You have to really do something for a refugee to be free, so that if you don't want the refugee to stay in your country, you send the person home earlier, not after some years. That's how, please help us and do something, you know, let her, if they don't even want to give people a residency, let them give work permits. Let people be going out from the hostel to go and work, to do something. Because it's like your career, everything, you are just, is finished.
And Brian, that's something I think which the Minister of State, Eleanor Reardon, and also Minister Frances Fitzgerald are promising, that there will be a move towards quicker resolution or decision on people's applications. But did you get a sense, Brian, about what proportion of women in these centres are resorting to prostitution?
I didn't get a sense, Sean. There's not as many people in the system now as there would have been 7 or 8 years ago. I was surprised by the fact that people said it was so widespread, taking place in many centres or outside many centres across the country. And I mean, one of the worrying things of the centres I visited was, as far as I could see, there was very little security. It would have been quite easy to call in and park there. Children were playing outside, you know, so there are very significant child safety considerations to be made here. And I suppose as well, a lot of the women say it's the system that's forcing them to do this, that they hadn't been involved in prostitution before they came to Ireland. Many of them are in the system 4, 5, 6, 7 plus years, and they say that the slowness in the system and getting resolutions to their case is what's forcing them to contemplate this.
And you'll have more on this for us tomorrow, Brian, particularly on that question that you just alluded to there, the safety of children and also security access.
One more
lack
woman
of security for people trying to access those places.
Exactly, and one more woman tomorrow will detail her experiences, Sean, while others I met will talk about what they're also seeing.
Brian, thank you very much indeed for that report. That's Brian O'Connell there. We'll be talking about breakfast clubs for hungry children going to school after the break.
Today with Sean O'Rourke on RTE Radio 1.